Welcome in, everyone, to another live post-game edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin, here with James Haskell, on the heels of the Ravens' dominant 37-3 game. And Jimbo, they knelt on it. It could have been so much worse. 37-3. It felt like 57-3. What a dismantling of another NFC opponent. I mean, Jimbo, how you feeling right now as a Ravens fan?
Dude, I'll tell you what, I'm excited, on top of the world, cloud nine, every other phrase synonymous to all of those. The Ravens are a serious conundrum. They are just a serious conundrum for a defense to deal with. Not even talking, I'm just talking offensively, not even talking about the prowess that our defense obviously showed today. But it's funny, man, I'm sitting here thinking, I should have had Tyler Huntley as my backup fantasy quarterback, because Lamar gets in the, you know, he gets out there and he plays three quarters, and then Huntley just goes in there and throws a touchdown. Like,
that's it, bro. Lots of firsts today. Speaking of that touchdown, OBJ gets on the board as a Raven on his birthday. What a way to celebrate your birthday. You get your first touchdown since that Super Bowl where he suffered the injury. 5 catches, 56 yards. I know that touchdown was important to him because it seemed like he was the only real valuable starter still left on the field after they yanked everyone with Lamar. But obviously he wanted to get that off his back, Jimbo.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what. I told you, look, as a daily fantasy guy, OBJ, I guarantee you, was a huge pickup today. Got to get the 5, you know, plus 50 in the touchdown for something like $4,500. Yeah, man, OBJ is tuning up right now. I love that route in the end zone. The Seahawks were defeated. Say what you want.
But they had their starters still out there fighting.
Yeah, and I think this is where OBJ can continue to carve out his specific role in this offense to where he can be just as dangerous as an 80, you know, as a mark in the end zone and things like that, because he has a unique ability that maybe Zay and Rashad Bateman haven't fully fleshed out yet as younger developing guys. OBJ is just dangerous in the red zone. And so it's exciting to see him build his niche in this offense. But, man, we were humming today everywhere. I mean, goodness gracious, Gus had like 4 carries, 2 touchdowns, and didn't even need to touch the field after that because Keaton Mitchell, man. Oh, my gosh. This kid burst on the scene. Sorry, Justice, but your job's been taken.
Well, and look, I feel bad for Justice in a way, but you're right. He gets the most carries, 13 carries, only turns it into 40 yards, averaging 3 a carry. Whereas you see Gus, 5 carries, 52 yards, averaging 10 a carry with 2 touchdowns. And then, yeah, Keaton Mitchell stole the show. 9 carries, 138 yards, 15 yards per touch, has the 60-yarder, has the 40-yard touchdown. This guy is showing explosiveness out of the backfield we just have not seen. And I have one question, Jimbo. Why the hell were we chasing running backs at the deadline?
No one's talking about it now, right?
Dude, what the hell?
I know. It was just incredible. I'll tell you what. The thing that surprised me the most about Keaton Mitchell, we knew about the speed, a bit about the elusivity, the power, the after contact balance and power, you know, doing his best impersonation of like a J.K. Dobbins.
You look like Ray Rice out there.
Yeah, man. Just impressive stuff.
Ray Rice. Yeah, man.
I like the waddle dance too in the end zone because it felt like he had that waddle run where he's never hit with one foot on the ground, man. He just finds a way to fight through contact. I was most impressed by that today of all the things that he did well today.
Yeah, we knew about his physicality. When Jasquan says he knew about the speed, I should say. He said, told you all about Keaton, unstoppable speed. But to me, it's the physicality, the running through the tackles. I mean, this guy was like a mixture of Gus and Justice Hill in that he had the quickness, more explosion, but also wasn't able to just get slung down by linebackers like you see at times from Justice. This guy was running through arm tackles. His stop and start ability, I mean – holy smokes, is he going to be the number one waiver wire ad in everyone's fantasy football league this week?
Yeah, no kidding. This kid is all-wheel drive, man. He does well. He's a rally car. Like, you see Justice try and do some of this stuff, and poor Justice, like, sometimes he just loses his footing. Yeah. And you know he's got the guy beat, and he'll try and make that cut, and boom, he loses his footing. But man, Keaton Mitchell is just staying up. He's got excellent balance. I don't know if he was a ballerina in another life or what the deal is, but this kid is impressive. I'm excited to see him take off. Certainly earned himself, more than earned himself. He deserves the right to be given the ball from here on out. And I'm looking forward to see what he can do with it, man. That is for sure.
Hey, let's see here. Sean, appreciate the generosity here. Sean says, boys, what an amazing game. Mitchell is a dog. However, my heart stopped when Lamar started limping. Hopefully, I hope it's not crazy. Where's all the we should have traded the deadline people at? Yeah, luckily, it looked like it was this close to being maybe a potentially serious ankle injury. But Bobby, I think it was Bobby Wagner, didn't drop all his weight. He came up off the ground, and luckily, I think he escaped anything, just a small tweak. But yeah, man, it looks kind of crazy to think the Ravens were hunting running backs after that performance. Gus looked phenomenal. Keaton looked absolutely phenomenal. And look, Justice Hill didn't have his best game, but I'm still confident that Justice can get it done. However, we got another mesh point disaster where the ball is on the ground, and I hate seeing Lamar involved in where he has to dive at a ball loose on the ground, and he's got a 300-pound monster on his back. That dude, that alone might be the reason we saw so much of Keaton Mitchell, of course, before he had success, and then he brought it on himself. But hey, Jimbo, I want to ask you something here. I gotta ask you about our defense, because look,
dude,
our defense is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Man. But I'm not ready to hear the comparisons just yet. I mean, I saw it on Twitter. What do you think about already hearing comparisons to the 2000 defense?
I agree with you, Glenn. It's too early, because the thing is that what our defense did was from beginning to end, all the way into the Super Bowl. It didn't change in the playoffs. Didn't change when the lights got bright. It continued to play the way that it did in the regular season. And everyone says in the playoffs, you can pack your run game, you can pack your defense, all these things. Hopefully we won't be packing anyone. We'll be playing here in Baltimore. But we've got to see what they do in the playoffs, because the Ravens have had other great defenses, albeit not as great as that 2001 defense, which I think is the greatest defense of all time, certainly in my lifetime. But the reason they stand out amongst all the greats is because they won a Super Bowl as the dominating unit of the three units. So until this defense can do it in the playoffs, I agree with you. I still think it's too early. As good as they may play, all the chips aren't on the table yet, right? Like, I think they have all the potential to be there, but I'm not ready to throw out the comparisons because it gets me too excited. I get too nervous about it. You know, I have too much respect for that 2001 team who just dominated all the way through. So I'm not ready to go there yet.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no denying this is a monster
defense. Special,
I mean,
right?
Dude, they are everywhere. I mean, they're playing like confidently. They're playing aggressive. They seem so fast. Even when guys would catch the ball, it seemed like as soon as they catch it, you just see a Raven fly into the screen and absolutely lay them out.
It's crazy because I felt like there was two other turnovers we could have had. Geno almost had that second one in the end zone.
Yeah.
And Kyle Hamilton.
Dude, so close. He was taking that the other way if he doesn't get hip checked.
Yeah. Yeah, it just goes to show that there's even more ways that they can become sharper and more impactful and more devastating as a defense. It just gets you excited. But I think the 2001 comparisons, while Tony Romo did bring up a good point, they're built similarly. Like, if you think of Michael Pierce and the Tony Siragusas and the Sam Adams, you think of the inside backers, you think of Ray flying all over the place. Even though today I felt like PQ had the game.
Oh, he was
like between the two. I mean, obviously Roquan is the man, but PQ had himself a game today. But there are comparisons. You know, McAllister Marlon Humphrey. I mean, yeah, there's some definite comparisons there, but I think it's still a little premature.
Tom says, little bit of post-game trivia for you guys. Lamar is only one loss to an NFC team. Without looking it up, who was that team? Who did he lose to in the NFC? Man, without looking it up, if I had to – trying to remember here, trying to go through the old Rolodex here.
It had to be in the 20 season, the COVID year.
Oh, well, now I just saw it in the chat, guys. I saw the Giants.
Who is
man.
It? Who is it?
The Giants is popping up. It's popping up everywhere. Yeah,
you guys, remember that was an infuriating
loss. Oh, that I do remember that game.
We dominated that game.
Dude, in every way except for the scoreboard. Like, yeah. Yeah, I remember that game. Appreciate it, Tom. But yeah. I mean, the numbers are incredible. What's he, 16, 17, and one or something
18,
crazy?
18.
Dude, that is unbelievable, bro. Like, I mean, I know he doesn't want to hear the stat, but that's ridiculous. I mean, it's 18 and one against any group of NFL teams. I don't care how you want to group it. It's absolutely incredible. So let's see here. Let's keep going through the numbers here. Mark Andrews again, 9 for 80 on 10 targets, catches all but just one target. He was an absolute first down machine today. I mean, holy smokes.
The yak by Mark today was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He was absolutely something special everywhere on the field. Let's see here. I want to hype up a little bit of this defense, because I remember at one point in the start of the fourth quarter, I think it was whoever was doing our game, he said, look, they have as many first downs as there are quarters. The Seahawks end up with 6 first downs for the game, Jimbo. Like, I mean, that is absolutely incredible. 6 total first downs. Mind you, the Ravens had 29 first downs. I mean, that is just an absolute.
Didn't we have that as an over-under?
I think we did have over-under, but it was for us, right? Like, passing first downs.
It was us.
We had to have – oh, I don't know if we hit it passing first downs. I don't know,
just
dude.
Just because we were running the ball so well.
Yeah, but 29-6 in the first down battle. I mean, 1 for 12, Jimbo. They were on third down conversions. 1 for 12. This defense is apt and 0 for 1 on fourth down. So, really, you put that on the bat. That's 1 for 13 on conversions. That is absolutely incredible. This defense was, I mean, they were everywhere. I don't know how. Yeah, I mean, they're the number one defense in most every category. It's just so much fun to see. My only question is Mike McDonald just definitely pricing himself out and becoming a head coach next year?
It looks to be that way, doesn't it? But I don't know, because you still got to nail the interview, right?
Yeah.
Got to nail the interview. And if a guy like Bieniemy can you know, be so part of – now I know there's the Andy Reid effect, but if a guy like Bieniemy can come back year after year after year, not saying that McDonald is going to interview maybe as poorly as we've heard Bieniemy has done. My point is that if a guy that has a unit playing at such a prolific level can return to his team multiple years, we got a chance is what I'm trying to say.
That's true. There's no doubt. I hope – and he's younger than me, so I hope that factors in, but man, that guy has been unbelievably special, what he's doing with this defense. And it really shows, like, can you name a player on the defense that's not having a career year?
Yeah. I mean, everyone. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Like, the whole defense is having a career year. That's got to mean something about
your DC.
I'll tell you what.
It all, to me, as great as this defense is, everyone talks about Rowe, and everyone talks about Kyle, and the three names that come to my mind, Michael Pierce, Travis Jones, Broderick Washington, are dominant today. Yep. I think Michael had one or two batted balls.
Yeah.
He had one or two. I think Travis Jones had a sack, didn't he? And Broderick Washington recovered a fumble.
Yeah, Brody jumped on the fumble. And then Matabike had another sack.
Oh, right. How could I forget Matabike? But I mean, the big boys up front are just setting the tone.
Yep, man. Yep. And Adafe, credit to Adafe. He let him get out of one, but he got a sack today. Off the couch, University. Kyle Van Noy continues to do it. He's got
back
two today.
Back to back, right?
Yeah, and he had the strip sack. Cito says, Henry, who? This team is beyond dangerous. Money Mike's defense is beautiful, and Monk proving the haters wrong every game. I mean, look, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more complimentary football team than what the Ravens have. I mean, they have seemingly the best defense in football. And the way the offense is humming, I mean, I think it's hard to argue they're not at least a top-5 offense at this point. Yeah. And they're only going up.
That's the fun thing about it, Glenn, is that you can see everyone was excited, including ourselves, excited to see what this offense could be. Mm-hmm. But what you were able to see – what you've been able to see week after week after week, regardless of the wins and losses, is the tuning. The tune. Mike is just, you know, he's got the old school radiator, right? He's just tuning it to the right frequency. A radiator. What? Radio. To the right frequency to get it humming and going correctly. And it's exciting. He's a mad scientist back there, man. It's a lot of fun to watch, because you know, people always say it. I feel like you have to, because Greg Roman reached such heights here, that it's not really about Greg. It's about building on the shoulders of that foundation that he left. And maybe, look, sometimes some cars have a gear that other cars don't have. It's just that simple, right?
Yep.
Maybe Moncton's just got a gear in this development that Greg just didn't have. And that's no knock on Greg. It's just a difference in their coaching. And look, it has really made this offense. Tony also said, I liked what he said. He said, the problem is all the Ravens are doing is giving, is taking what the defense gives them. And they're dominating because they can dominate you with whatever you give them. You got to give them something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's scary. It is. It's got to be. I don't care how confident the Chiefs or anyone else are is. And they got to be looking at this Ravens offense, looking over their back like, oh boy, this is a problem, right?
No doubt. Absolute problem. And then, I mean, you look at guys like we didn't have a big day from Zay Flowers today. He had one catch for 11 yards and
didn't even need it.
37 point. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just anybody can be the star of the day, it looks like. Isaiah Likely coming out with four catches for 42 yards. And I believe he picked up four first downs on those four catches. Like, he was just an absolute terror. And it just shows, like, Nelson did nothing today. Would it surprise anyone if Nelson Agholor had 60 yards and a touchdown next week? Like, it's just,
yeah,
this team will hit you with so many different weapons offensively. And then defensively, I mean, just look at their number one, their top two receivers, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they combined for four catches today for 80 yards. I mean, yeah. DK Metcalf held to one catch. I mean, it was a 50-yarder, but he's held to one catch. I mean, it's amazing how good both sides of the ball. The only thing that has me a little concerned is that I don't want a situation where your team peaks too early. And it looks like the Ravens are peaking right as we speak. Kenny Ash says, not just the explosive speed, but the vision, patience, and the relentlessness from Keaton. Justice Hill needs to say as the special team's ace, he says.
All right. So, Justice, get back in your lane.
Yeah, man. But you'll still be there when we need you.
That's right. But this is what I want to say about the peaking comment or a thought. I think, Glenn, a lot of that goes down to framing, mental framing. Because if you feel good, I mean, you're not going to want to hold back, purposefully in any regular season game. But I think of the mental framing that John Harbaugh has on this team, the memory of 2019, and then also kind of like I talked about before, I still think that Monken, because this is so fresh to him, he's got to say, man, this was great, but there's so much more, right? Like, he's got to commit this offense to being week to week. I think that's how you avoid peaking, saying, there's so many areas where we can improve, even in areas we did well. Let's double down. Let's do more here. Let's do that. But he's got to frame their minds every week for a fight. I think that you do those things, you avoid the peaking like you're talking about. So I think really that's going to come down to coaching. And then you can even take that one step further, obviously to all players, but certainly to Lamar Jackson as the leader of this team to remember what that was like and let people know, look, we've got to keep going up from here, right? We've got to hold, if no one else is going to hold us accountable, we've got to hold ourselves accountable, right?
Yep. No doubt. Manny says blow out the Lions. Some say it's a fluke. Blow out the Seahawks. We're starting to see a pattern. This team is legit. Best team win in a while. Yeah, I mean, look, you come off that three-game road trip, and some people were even saying, even though I think it was kind of silly, to call this game a possible sneak game because you're coming home cooking, you're playing a good Seahawks team. I mean, they made light work of these guys. And it, like you said, I mean, if you see the Ravens on your schedule this week, you got to be thinking, first of all, the coaches aren't getting a lot of sleep this week. I can tell you that. The quarterback's got to be not a whole lot of sleep either. This is a scary, scary team. And Jimbo, just to really further sing the praises of this defense, this is a good Seattle rushing team, right? They got two good running backs with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. And they got a quarterback who can run a little bit. They totaled 15 carries for 28 yards. I mean, they didn't even average 2 yards a carry as a football team. They were complete and total disaster on the ground, and they weren't better in the air. Sub 50% completion percent from Geno Smith today. He throws the pick to the better Geno on the field, who, by the way, Jimbo, I mean, if Geno Stone breaks the damn franchise interception record and takes it from Ed Reed, I don't know. It's like I'll be happy, but I'll also feel a little bit sad because I don't want anyone taking any Ed Reed records. But holy smokes, the fact that we're even talking about it, I think it's pretty incredible.
And
he had a shot at the other one. It would have been a hell of a pick. I won't say he should have had it, but he had a shot at that other one in the end zone.
He did. He did. And it will be far and above the most impressive thing. I mean, the season is still young. That will have happened in this NFL season, if that's the case. You know, if somebody had to say, you know, some trivia, who in the 2023 season broke Ed Reed's single season, you know, for the franchise record, single season interceptions record? No one, 30 years from now, no one is going to say Geno Stone.
Unless right? we're still around.
And no one, exactly. No one certainly last year would pick Geno Stone as the guy. More, not saying, you know, because I guess Geno could go on to have a Hall of Fame career. That's not my point. But certainly last year, not a soul would have picked Geno Stone. Am I right?
Oh, for sure. For sure, dude. They think it was a huge
loss.
The
most impressive thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you lose him, they think it's a huge loss. Asad says, Geno Reed back again. Owe slowly coming around too. Yeah, Owe was
and that was a
today,
sorry
man.
that was an Ed Reed type interception too. It wasn't a tip pass. He falls in your lap. Where he read it, he saw the overthrow, beat the receiver to the spot. Boop! That's his football, right?
Well, yeah, but look, when you get to the numbers, Ed Reed had all the picks. He'll get the tip pick. He'll get the lucky pick. He'll get the good pick because when you're that damn good. And the ball finds you, and you can call it lucky all you want, but the ball finds those who, you know, who put in the work and who have the instincts. Ravens O's Nation says now all we need is Buffalo to beat the Bengals. Yeah. Can we finally have a game where we get a little ground on this North team? I saw what the Browns did to the doo-doo-ass Cardinals who, holy smokes, that was an embarrassment.
Did Kyler
they
play
ran
today?
At quarterback. Heck no. They ran this kid out who had no idea what he was doing. And they ran him out as a and just sacrificed him to one of the best defenses in football and Miles Garrett.
Poor kid.
I mean, holy smokes! It was embarrassing. But yeah, let's see. Buffalo needs to do their job tonight. But I think the Bengals are going to win. I hate to say it.
Me too. I don't think the Buffalo Bills are real.
No, and they picked up Lenny Fournette. Let's see if he can revitalize their. Lack of run game. Manny says, how do you beat that Ravens team? You can't. You can't do it. I mean, not when they're playing this well and not shooting themselves in the foot. They almost did a couple times with the fumbles. I do have to ask you, Jimbo, I think one of the few kind of dim spots, I'm going to say dim, was Ronnie Stanley, man. He's still not looking too hot at left tackle. He's not horrible. But he has moments like we saw when they let Mafe, their leading sack guy, get right around and strip Lamar Jackson as he's trying to deliver the throw. Do you worry that when you have to play some of these upper echelon teams, when you get into the playoffs, that teams are going to start exploiting Ronnie and we're going to have to start helping him? And that's not the guy you'd expect you'd have to help when you're paying him that kind of scratch.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about some of the matchups we got coming up, obviously we got Myles Garrett again. We got the Niners, on Christmas?
Yeah, TJ again, TJ Watt.
We got TJ Watt again, and you know, the Niners get who they get, the Chase Young.
You got you got Randy Gregory and Bosa and Armstead.
I mean, yeah, so, you know, we got some dogs coming up. So it does make me a little nervous, but I'll also say this. I'm not going to lose faith in Ronnie yet because Ronnie, like a lot of players that have played at very high levels, got a lot of pride. Like, I think Ronnie still knows how to get it done. He might have some permanent physical limitations or could still be healing from the knee. I mean, this could be unrelated to the ankle, and he could still be healing from the knee. So I'm going to hope that he continues getting the flexibility, his speed back. So I'm going to hang in there with Ronnie for now. I see the concern, and my eye is on it. but I'm going to hold the faith here because Ronnie's gotten it done, and I'm going to believe that he can get it done.
Okay, I like it. I'll be interested to see what Cole has to say Tuesday
about
what he saw from Ronnie. Doomgoy says, this team is different. No more excuses. Mm-hmm. I guess 2023 is better than 2019. Well, let's hope it ends better. I don't know if we can say they're the better team just yet because, man, they blew out everybody in 2019, but they're certainly looking like it right now.
Yeah, and this is the thing I'll say. We talked about this a few weeks back. I think it was the Lions game when they blew them out. The Ravens, the exciting thing about all of this is that they're not punching above their weight, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is that how the saying goes?
Yeah.
Like, they're not playing outside of their weight class. The only difference between the Ravens previous to, in the games that they have played poorly in comparison to these more recent games, is execution. It's not players playing outside of their mind. It's not Lamar Jackson playing hero ball. It's not all these different things that could be less sustainable. It's just execution, right? Like, it's not anything. There's no heroic efforts here. It's not one guy. It's the entire team. So that's what has me excited more, where I felt like in 19, it was the Lamar Jackson show. Like, that's just what it was, right? Yeah. Like, his supporting cast was like Lamar Jackson in 19 was like Iverson in 01.
Well, the best part of his supporting cast in 19 was probably our scheme. Like,
our scheme
was just so different than anyone else that was probably the best part. So to your point, yeah, he's got a lot more help. He doesn't have to be Superman, but it helps when he does play like Superman. You end up with games like today where they're absolute beatdowns.
Well, look, he played like Superman, but he had zero touchdowns.
Now he did, but he had
that's
he
the crazy part.
The ground good 21 right. 26, had a good completion, had 10 for 60 on the ground. Like, yeah,
oh, I mean, for sure. But I mean, I still think he doesn't have to put in the same amount of effort for us to get a game.
What's encouraging
like this.
Is the red zone also, like, we're not have to rely on him to punch it in on the red zone. We got guys like Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell who look like they're going to be taking care of it. Cito. Appreciate you commenting again. It says, Stanley, I'm almost ready to call him the biggest Ravens signing bust in recent memory. Overreaction? I mean, it's got to be an overreaction only because he's still out there and he's still a top half of the league left tackle at right now.
Yeah.
I think you could look at – I mean, some people are going to start looking at this Marcus Williams signing if he keeps missing games and start wondering if that's not – maybe not the best signing. Earl Thomas was not the best signing.
Yeah, oh, that has to be the one, right?
That's a bad one, They paid him quite
like, how
a bit.
Did he even make a Pro Bowl here? Like, was that name. Just on name? You know what I mean?
He had a pretty good year, but yeah, name.
Yeah. I think I agree with you on that. I think that could be a bit of an overreaction. I mean, look, today, Ronnie playing like he plays, but you trotting out that left tackle, big slow or Ronnie Stanley?
Wait, I'm talking Ronnie Stanley out there.
That's what I'm saying. Even today.
Heck no.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like you said, he's still respectable. He's still a starting caliber player. And I got faith that when the lights are bright, Ronnie's going to get it done. I just do. I think when guys have that pride and have that those moments in their career where they've played at top, tier levels, been the All-Pro, sure, maybe he can't sustain it at this point in his career being that he's had injuries. But I think when the moments are biggest, if he can give us an all-pro drive, some all-pro snaps, like, that's the difference, So I still got faith in Ronnie. I'm ready to see him get it done.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is, as long as he stays healthy, we know what his floor is, and that's right now where he's at. And that's still a pretty good floor, and I think his ceiling is a little bit higher. So Kenny says, one thing makes this defense even more impressive is how much harder it is for defenses to be dominant in this offensive league. Yeah, I mean, they certainly hamstring defense and the way that they're playing out there. The thing that I think is most impressive is how fast we are. We are so fast everywhere. Like, the speed, the closing speed, the aggression in which we arrive to the point of contact. Like, everyone just gets there with, like, a ton of bricks, man. It's so much fun watching these guys play. And
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, look, I'm fine with the fact that they stood pat because we already got our guys, Jimbo.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And the other thing I'll say, too, when it comes to the difficulty that a defense has at sustaining the level that our defense is played at, you know, in this NFL, absolutely true. The exciting thing for me about having Mike is that you talked about Mike's younger than us, right? Well, mm-hmm. No, than you, not me. But I'll say that he views the NFL through the lens that a guy like us grew up watching this era does, right? So, like, I think it makes offensively going against an offense where I'm not talking about a guy that's grown up in the era that the Ryans grew up in or some of these, the Spagnolis or some of these older DCs. I'm not saying it's like strictly an age thing, but I do think it makes a difference because Mike is very innovative. Mm-hmm. I also think it's easier for him to innovate because he's seen more of these new wave offenses. I truly think that makes a difference for him because he just sees the game differently than a guy who the majority of that other guy's career was playing against a totally different set of rules and totally different, you know, schemes offensively. I think it makes a difference.
Yeah, young creativity and a guy who's seen the college level at firsthand, and we're seeing a lot of the college influence now in the pros. So I think that's a good point. Yep. Marcus Moore says, craziest part of this win is that we left a ton on the field. We look good against good teams, and we're getting wins without playing our best football. We love to see it. Yeah. You know what I like the most, they talk about playing to the competition, and the Ravens at times, even this season, have done that, certainly. But what that also means is, yeah, you play down to bad teams, but they play up to good teams, bro. When they think they have a good team coming into town, the Ravens bring their A game, and that is encouraging because that's what tells me that all you're going to be playing is good teams in the end of the season in the playoffs. So if you tell me that this team brings its A game when they're playing good teams, that's only encouraging that they're going to go far in the playoffs. And what you don't want to see is those paper team or those fake good teams. Like, they have good records, but when you see them go up against a good team, they get absolutely destroyed. And I think, like, the Steelers are a good example of a team that I think is like that, where they are not as good as their record. I think the Ravens are better than their record. The only team to beat the Ravens this year is the Ravens, in my opinion. And people can call me a fan all they want. That's just the damn truth of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, they have to be the biggest paper house. Mm-hmm. House of Cards. There you go.
There it is.
That exists in the NFL, being 5-2. Yeah, House of Cards. But I'm.
Right,
but
there we go. Hold on, we lost you for a second.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, you're good.
No, I'm just saying the Lions are another example of that for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said the Lions are another example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like the Dolphins are an example.
Oh, God.
They are 0-3 against winning teams, and they're undefeated against bad teams. They score 30 points a game or 30 something a game against losing teams, and they score in the teens against winning teams. So the Miami Dolphins right now are the example of a team that can't beat the good teams, but beats up and beats the crap out of all the bad teams. And I don't think that's where the Ravens want to be. I'd much rather be where the Ravens are right now, where they're making light work of what's supposed to be good NFC teams. Kenny says, Monken called a great game. No getting cute, just finding their weaknesses and attacking it. Yeah, I love the none of the crazy, you know, intricate, you know, cutesy when they think we're going to do this. So we're going to do this. I loved it. But at the same point, the players executed, right? So it made the play calls look a whole lot better.
Yeah, because you could consider, once again, Tony Romo pointed this out, but the play in the red zone that Justice almost took for a touchdown, that was definitely a cutesy play in that everyone dove right, everyone blocked right, and then, you know, he goes off to the left, and he's got two unblocked guys in front of him. So if that play doesn't work out, that's a negative yard play, right? Like, but it just simply worked out because of the execution. You're right. But, yeah, not too cute. Kept it simple in the red zone. You know, use Gus Edwards appropriately, I think, which is huge. I think we both did well today with our breakout players of the game offensively, right? I had OBJ. I think you can consider a breakout player, right?
Like, oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then you had Gus, right?
He had two tutties.
Definitely. Yeah, two tutties, and I don't think he had a drop of sweat.
No. He every time he was on the field, he was successful. And then defensively, I think I had – did I have Owe?
Owe. I had Clowney. Yeah, Clowney had a pass breakup, had some pressures.
Let me see here. Let me see. I don't know if we can count that one for you. Let me see here, dude. I think Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know if we can count that one for a breakout player.
Had a batted ball. Had a batted ball. But you're right. He was certainly overshadowed by Owe and obviously Van Noy. Crazy because Van Noy was really the highlighted outside linebackers today, though.
Yeah, there you go, DK. Everyone had a good day, he says. Hey, that's right. Hey. Even Clowney. Sean says, boys, it's games like this that make me love this team so much. So proud to be a diehard Ravens fan. Yeah, it's fun to be a fan of this Ravens team. It's always fun to be a fan. I think about other cities, and I go, thank goodness we have the Ravens.
Oh, thank you. No kidding.
Oh, by the way, did you see CJ Stroud today? Sets the NFL rookie record, 5 touchdowns today, 470 passing yards over the Buccaneers. Woo! That is absolutely insane. And then let's see here. Not just see. Oh, and then shout to Josh Dobbs. He gets traded to the Vikings after they lose Kirk Cousins, and he gets thrust into the game after the rookie starter gets knocked out with a concussion. And all he does is lead them to a win. So shout out to Josh Dobbs. I'm glad he didn't win last week, though. Don C says, I agree with Tony Romo. This team is a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
That Keaton Mitchell is good at football. Let's go. He certainly is good at football. What type of impact do you think Keaton Mitchell could make down the stretch here, Jimbo? Do you think he could take over? I mean, I know he's going to take a lot of Justice's work, but the explosion, the one play, you know, quick score ability he brings, could he ultimately, by season's end, take over RB1 duties from Gus outside of the goal line work?
Yeah, I could see it happening. The only thing that I think could take it longer is Gus can set a pace to a football game, right? Mm-hmm. He can absolutely, you know, dictate the pace with the way he runs the ball. And then also there's a trust that's built up there. So it will take time for Keaton to build up that trust to be able to just kind of dethrone Gus Edwards of that, you know, quote unquote RB1 role. But certainly he is carving himself out a bigger and bigger role every week and did so in the great in heaps and bounds today. So, man, I'm excited to see this kid get the ball. How crazy is it that we're going to have two undrafted kids in the backfield running the football, obviously former undrafted kid in Gus Edwards, and then Keaton Mitchell. Talk about scouting and the GM or the front office doing their job. That's just impressive stuff, man.
Yeah, a lot of homegrown undrafted talent here in Baltimore. I mean, let's see. Sean says, any update on Lamar's ankle? Is he for sure okay? I haven't seen anything. Let me see. Let me check the old X universe here. I don't see anything about it, so I'm going to assume that he's absolutely fine. He looked like he shook it off. It was a little tweak, but he quickly – okay, here we go. Sarah Ellison, thank you. Sorry. Dude, I'm looking at Twitter, DK. I turned this down. I don't always look at the screen. John says he's okay. I wish it wouldn't have happened, but it's not bad. He seems like he's okay. Looks like nothing to worry about. He's good. Thank goodness. But, yeah, I mean, it was just one of those freak things, and I'm not going to – yeah, I think he'll be absolutely fine. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they take a little bit lighter workload on the design runs or even some of the options maybe next week. I didn't see another one the rest of the game this week, which makes perfect sense. But, Sean, I think nothing to worry about. All is fine. Although, Jimbo, he didn't do necessarily a ton for you in the fantasy world. Are you okay with that, or are you disappointed? Oh, man. Are we on delay? Oh, no. We're on delay. Jimbo, I saw somebody in the chat said you need to be more professional, and I agree with him, dude. I agree with him. Be more professional, Jimbo. What the hell's the matter with you?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh, man. I'm talking all kinds of crap, but he can't even hear me. It takes the fun out of it. Terrence Moore says they are already helping Ronnie. I saw them chipping him this game on his side. Yeah, I agree. I saw it as well. I just hope, I mean, they, you know, to some degree, they'll always help guys out here and there to you know, at the very least, disrupt the defensive end and kind of keep him guessing. But what I don't want to see is a constant and consistent helping where, you know, they're certain plays in their playbook have to get eliminated just because Ronnie can't do his job at a high enough level. I don't think we're even there, you know, close to that yet. But, you know, it's a little discouraging to see him, his inability to anchor against the bull rush. That's not what you want to see. Jimbo, are you back with us? Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay.
Did somebody say I had to be more professional in the chat?
Yeah, dude, you got to be more professional, dude.
Yeah, well, I just want to say a couple of things. I think that the Ravens had an audio silence on the game for 20 seconds last week, and that was CBS, a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate. So if you want to give me billions of dollars, I'll never, ever do anything but be of the utmost, you know, have the utmost professionalism and never lose signal.
I think that what it is, they're just worried about you driving, dude. They don't want you getting hurt, Jimbo.
No, that's why I'm not looking at the camera. You see what I'm saying? You don't know where the eyes are looking. I'm looking straight ahead, baby. 10-2.
There you go.
10-2. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, though. I do apologize.
It's all good. It's all good. JL says, Ravens just made the Seahawks suck their big toe. Okay. All right. Okay. True. Well, they certainly handled them. I don't know about the big toe sucking, but yeah, they absolutely destroyed them. Another example of the NFC coming over to play at the AFC Park and getting taught a big, big lesson. Manny says, we finished with 298 rushing yards today because of kneel downs. Yeah, they could have certainly done more. I mean, they could have scored more. They could have done a whole lot more if they would have kept the pedal to the metal. They took it off the gas in a big, big way. Yeah, it was a beatdown. It was fun, though.
Yeah, I agree. It was a great game. I think, is it time to – I have no idea about the results of our competition. I don't know if DK is putting it in our chat yet. But is it time to get that. There?
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
I can't see DK out down below. Is he ready for it?
It looks like he's motioning. He's ready. He's scrambling furiously. He's typing furiously.
Is he throwing papers in the air right now?
Son of a biscuit. You know what? We don't have to go to the competition if you don't want to. Don't have time, we really don't have to even address it. Sean says, don't put the phone in your hand, Jimmy. Don't do it.
I promise. I'm good. I'm hands-free.
Okay. All right. But I mean, yeah. I guess if we really have to, we'll talk about it. But if you don't want to, dude, we don't, you know, we can skip it.
I want to know who won. I want to know who won.
Haunted S'more says, sending some love for Geno and on the Geno interception. Look, we don't need to bring it up, Jimbo. I mean, I may know who won.
Did DK win?
No, DK did not win. Okay.
All right.
Dude, don't be so damn excited.
Man, I'm pretty sure you spanked me today in fantasy. I haven't checked once. I'm pretty sure you spanked me, so it's okay.
Yeah. I guess it's okay. You know? Tone the Virgo says, what a lovely Sunday. Is this the first time we have three home games in a row? And I think D'Amico Ryans has to be considered coach of the year. Well, he certainly he's got to be considered as a newcomer, he's been absolutely incredible. He's been,
Their draft was incredible too. If you think about their two picks.
Yeah, their draft was an absolute home run. I mean, it's cool because he's going back to the organization he played for. He was a legend for. I mean, I think I love all that. And Houston's never really won anything. So, you know, good for them. I'm not mad at it. I like that we called them early because, man, they're starting to hit on all cylinders. And, young talent with a young head coach. That's a fun team to be a fan of. Actually, I already read that. There we go. Joshua Hunter says, Lamar, taking what the defense was giving him is an underrated positive. Excuse me. Whoa, from this game. Team looked dialed in. Great win. Yeah, I mean, Joshua's right. Like you said, Jimbo, they're not doing anything that's, not repeatable, that's, out of the realm of their typical possibility. That's not what this is. This is just take with the defense, get the ball in the hand of your playmakers and let the defense do what it's been doing.
Yep. Yeah. There's no magic. There's no trickery here. You're absolutely right. And that's the most exciting thing about this team for sure. And at least for me.
Yeah. Yeah. They are only doing what they should be doing anyway. Dang it.
That's right.
They're just that talented, that deep of a roster. And, man, I love seeing it. I just hope that this offensive line can continue to stay on the field and play play together. Because as long as Moses and Stanley You know, the other guys have been relatively healthy. If they can stay on the field and continue to get better, man, this team's going to be something absolutely special. And Keaton Mitchell, man, what an absolute shot in the arm that guy's been. You talk about trying to get a trade because you want a guy to come in and have an impact like Roquan had, you know, and while Mitchell might not have the impact in the locker room that Roquan had, he might have the impact on the field because he looked like an absolute lightning bolt today on the field. It was so much fun.
And it's just going to be more for Monken to have in the – I'm not even going to call it the vault. Not going to call it the vault. Monken to have in the holster. There we go.
There you go.
The holster, right? Because now you talked about the defenses upcoming, you know, that we're going to be playing against aren't getting much sleep. They certainly aren't going to this week. Now they got to add the Keaton Mitchell, you know, wrinkle into that. And when he uses Keaton Mitchell as window dressing and when he actually is going to use Keaton Mitchell and it's just – so much fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun moving forward. I can't wait.
Yeah, we got two division matchups coming up here in within 10 days, if I remember correctly. They got the Browns this week. Then they turn around quick to play the Bengals at home on a Thursday night. And I think Big Boy's doing the halftime show, which is freaking awesome. I wish I could go.
Awesome.
But nonetheless, you got two AFC North matchups in a 10-11-day stretch. This is going to be in a critical point. I mean, I think obviously the Ravens are going to hope that they win both those games, but you know, even winning one, if you win two, you're really icing this division, in my opinion, because that means you're going to have the best division record in the AFC North, and you already have a lead. So, man, they have an opportunity to really put this division to bed, and then you start worrying about, man, I don't want to see us in Week 17 going, are we going to bench all of our key starters again? Because we're looking at that first feed and we want to hit. Pedal to the metal, guys. Keep them playing.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I'm looking forward to this upcoming next 10 days. Let's get it done. All right, let's get to it, Glenn.
All right. Competition every week. We have a series of over-unders and tiebreakers to settle the over-unders if there's an event of a tie. Let's get right into it, Jimbo. Competition results are here. First one is, I don't like this at all. This is bull crap. Let's see. Over under wide receiver receptions. We set it at 8.5, or DK set it at 8.5. And man, they went way over. 12 catches by the wide receivers. He was dishing the ball everywhere. Man, I think, let's see. Man, okay. Me and DK got that wrong. Jimmy got that right. Son of a gun. So Jimmy's up early. All right, next one. We have Ravens passing first down. First downs. Would they get more? Would they have less? They get 11. Me and Jimmy both correctly predicted that. DK says under, so he is incorrect. So Jimmy 2-for-2. I'm 1-for-2. And DK 0-for-2 to start. Wow. All right, next one is Seahawks yards per offensive play. They averaged 4.5. Or no, he puts it at 4.5. They averaged well above that. And man, I said,
wait, over, didn't they average 3.2?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They normally average way above that heading into this game. They averaged like five point something per play heading into this game. And they only averaged 3 yards per play. Oh, Jimbo, they couldn't do anything. And you were the only one. Oh, no, you and DK both said they go under there. So DK finally gets on the board. Jimbo, I mean, 3-for-3 to start.
Hey,
I really don't like this. And then the last one, tackles for lost, over under 4.5. They end up with just 5, barely over, which where DK was correct with that when we were both wrong. But nonetheless, doesn't matter because you got 3 out of 4 correct. You are this week's champion. But let's get into the tiebreakers just because of the fan competition. Let's see. They went under the total, which we all correctly predicted. We were all right.
Did I go under? I went
just 24-17. You went under.
Yeah.
We all were correct in predicting that the Seahawks weren't bringing a ton to this party. And they weren't. Mm-hmm. The Ravens brought it all, and it still went under. It's unbelievable that they scored 37 points, and it still went under that total.
Crazy.
And then this is the one where I got you good on the second tiebreaker. Too bad it didn't come down to it. That 331, baby. That 1 yard. They go for 515 yards of offense, Jimbo.
Jeez, a whiz.
Holy.
Jeez. Hey, Glenn, I just got a question.
What?
Who put their answers in first?
No more shooting from the hip from me. I need prep time, damn it. I need thinking time. I got to put my cat back on. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Bullshit. I know.
Again?
You know.
How many wins you got?
I don't know. I've lost count.
Oh, I knew you'd, you know, I should have known you'd say some stuff like that. By the way, anyone hasn't seen Brock Purdy's picture next to a young John Harbaugh, look it up. They look identical. They're long lost brothers. They're long lost identical twins. Brock Purdy looks like John Harbaugh. It's freakish.
That's hilarious. Check it out.
But that's it for us tonight. We'll, of course, announce the fan winner this Tuesday when we have our film expert, Cole Jackson, back on with us this Tuesday. Don't forget, 8 o'clock, we will be live here on YouTube. Be there or be square. That's I said it right that time. Dang it. I was supposed to see. Anyway, that's it.